Hallelujah. Well, we're going to start a new series. Everybody say the power of prayer. There's power in prayer. And before we went on our vacation, I was the Lord just kept flickering this thought in my head. I was so tired. I guess it was a flicker, but I was really, you know, just exhausted. I guess it was that the fumes, they were already gone. It was the fumes left over from the fumes. That's how tired I didn't realize. But the Lord was signaling to me, it's time to go to a new level of prayer. I couldn't articulate it at that time, but coming back, it's just this growing conviction, a weight, this rising up and a sense of conviction. How many of you realize that in your own heart, it's time to go to a new level of prayer? Is that good? Now look, we're in a real interesting season because we've been working on this other side of the sanctuary for quite a while. This week, they're taking all that scaffolding down. And so there's going to be other things. And in our prayer time, the Thursday night intercession time, we started talking about, let's pray over every single thing. When it's time to paint something else, let's pray over that. Let's just invite the Lord. I want to just go ahead and say this. Let each person be filled afresh with the Spirit. Let there come a great sense of the presence of God in the church. And let there come the glory of God in the city. Let that be something that just settles in us. Are you there? So I want to talk about the power of prayer, and I want to kind of stretch us around a little bit. You're probably like me, you know, when somebody talks about prayer, you don't never feel like you do enough. If you want to elicit guilt out of people, you can say, "Do you pray enough?" And it's one of those things where you might fall off the wagon and not really pray that much. So we're going to talk about some personal things, we'll talk about some corporate things, and talk about the power of prayer. Just before we even get to the fill in the blank, I want to do a few scriptures up here just to refresh our memory and look at some stuff. Let's go to this scripture. It's in James, and it's chapter 5. In fact, it starts off, I have it starting with, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Right before that, it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed." How many of you know when you hold stuff in, it doesn't fare well, but when you let it out, you get better? And so when you let it out in the presence of a caring person, and tied right to this concept of sharing a burden and confessing a fault or somewhere where you've gotten off track, the word fault there is not a big condemning word. It's just, I'm just not heading where I need to go. And all of us end up like that. How many of you feel like you've been lost as a duck in high weeds on occasion? You just need some help. And somebody else can say, "Hey, let's walk along together," and you pray, and next thing you know, you're all back on track. Well, then it says, right after this, he says, "Because the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And then he throws this whole thing about Elijah at us. How many of you know who Elijah is in the Old Testament? He's a prophet like you wouldn't believe. And everybody feels like, wait a minute, you're going to compare us to Elisha right now? Elijah? And it says, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then the next slide says, "And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produces its fruit." And you're like encouraging me with stopping the weather? How many of you feel like this is over my head? Listen, there are moments. I remember when my sister was getting married, and the power of the rain came in, and it was an outdoor wedding. And it was raining, and I went to the Lord and said, "Lord, would you please allow them to have this wedding outside like they planned?" And this wind started blowing, and this wind blew and blew, and it was knocking over all the flowers and stuff, and it was a little chore, and we were packing up to go to the church to have it indoors, and the Lord alerted us, "I blew all the rain off the seats. Now the seats aren't wet. Have it outside." It was the most beautiful time. So the Lord says, "I'm going to do two things. I'm going to cause the weather to have the need met in the area, but I'm also going to sweep the seats off for you." Now look, all we did is turn to the Lord and say, now it wasn't a famine. And there are times, I remember in Southern California when we were living there, it was a long time famine. And the Lord spoke in a prayer meeting at our church that there was a weather system over the Utah area, way off, and there came Nevada, and there was a bunch of believers binding and loosing and praying this warfare type prayer, and next thing you know, the drought broke, the rains came pouring in, and there was a weatherman. And I remember watching this weatherman. He said, "There's a church praying." Though he was lit up, man. The weatherman was so excited. He was proclaiming all over L.A., not the Weather Channel, but the local weather news. He was giving all that because there is given to us. There says a person with like passion like us can pray and have effect of the weather. Everybody says hallelujah. I don't know what we're going to do about the 95 weather. Let's ask for there's also a prayer for endurance, which is a whole different thing, and Christian character, which we'll get to that. Hallelujah. Also, now I want to go ahead and take us to 1 Timothy, and still talking about the power of prayer. Timothy says, "First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for the king and for all who are in high positions, that they may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." The next slide, it says, these are four things. Supplications, these are basically basic needs. When you pray for something, just like in our prayer circles, there's things we have need of. We have personal requests. Sometimes it's just things are really substandard and things aren't going right. You maybe be sick or something, and so you're praying for that. Secondly, the next word is prayer. It just means the actual derivation of this word literally means a place to go and pray. But it's making requests to God. And then, of course, intercessions, and that's when we're praying for others. And fourthly, and this is a big deal to God, this is the protocol of heaven, giving of thanks. When you pray and you have a big thing you are wrestling with, it's so important in your own spirit to build your faith by thanking God for the things that are going right and for what He has given. It's really important. In fact, it says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise." To enter His presence, He says, this is how you do it. You come into My presence with a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude. And the reason that you know that's right is because you know when people enter your presence, if they're complaining, you don't like it. But if they come into your presence giving thanks, you like it. Isn't that right? And God made us that way. And we enter His presence with thanksgiving, so giving of thanks. And then it says the results here, the results that we live a quiet and peaceable life, that there's a fruit, there's a fruitfulness. And these are the basic, kind of basic things, identifying the power of prayer. I want you to understand, he's saying, that basic prayer, this is something I didn't have in your notes, just write this down. Prayed for people get along a lot better than non-prayed for people. Prayed for people get along a lot better than non-prayed for people. And that all, I learned about that reading an article about how they took the hospital, there's a study that was done, and they took a hospital and they said, this wing, this half of the hospital, we're going to have intensive prayer and all these people are going to be prayed for. And they had a prayer team and they were lifting up their names on a daily basis for a season. I don't know if it was a month or so. And over here on the other side, we're not going to pray for them and we're going to look at the results. And the results were tallied and all the people that were being prayed for regularly got better quicker. And I showed this to a chaplain. I said, look at this, a hospital chaplain. I said, look, did you ever see this study? He says, that's why we have jobs. This is the reason I have a job, is these studies like this, that we orchestrate prayer. And so it's really important. Now, let's go ahead to your first fill in the blank. Prayer has purpose. Prayer has purpose. Just simple word, purpose. Purpose. Would you put up the next slide? And this is part of it, and I want to get to this. Galatians 4:19, my little children. And this is Paul praying, and you talk about a group of people that went off track. The people in the Galatia region had started off in the grace of God and had faith in the Lord, and then somebody came in and really messed them up with a bunch of legalism. And they got off track trying to work out in their flesh the things that God was giving them for free just by faith in Him. And so now he says this in the midst of that. He says, I'm praying, he says, my little children for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. He's having to travail in prayer again. He's going into, and so a real purpose, a big purpose is that Christ be formed in us. Let's go ahead and look at a prayer that Paul prays. I'm going to read this and I'll go down, the list. I don't think I put this in there. It says, this is Colossians 1:9 through 14. It says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Isn't that wonderful? Here's Paul saying, I'm not going to stop praying for you. And I made a commitment last week. I led a young lady, 25-year-old lady, I shared in the message last week, to the Lord. And her name was Kate. And I said, I'm going to pray for you regularly. And I've been lifting her up regularly. And I've been praying this kind of stuff. You know, it's good to copy Paul and his prayers. It says, I have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I have two slides. I want to just bring these up. The first one, first slide, fill with the knowledge. This is a real good prayer to pray for people. Lord, fill them with the knowledge of your will. Prayed for people get along better than non-prayed for people. And so it would be good to say, Lord, in my friend's life, fill them with the knowledge of your will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that they can walk in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing you. Isn't that a good prayer? You can feel the life of it because you're praying the word of God, fully pleasing. It says that they may bear fruit in everything that they do. Let there come a fruit-bearing spirit. And then in the midst of that, that their eyes not get distracted from the bearing fruit, but they increase in the knowledge of God. That the more you do, the more you increase in the knowledge of Jesus said, I don't do anything except to see the Father do it. He says, there's nothing I can hear. I can't do anything except I'm connected to him. The Lord wants us to live that way. Increasing in the knowledge of God shows us our depth of our dependence. And he says that you may be strengthened with this, all this power according to his glorious might. How many of you need the power of God in your life? How many of you feel like in this day, in a counterculture where there's an antichrist spirit basically prevailing, you need all the strength and power you can receive? Why? For endurance and patience with joy. You know what? If the devil can't get your, if you can't get whatever it is, you know, if you can't steal the marriage, he wants the joy out of the marriage. He wants to take stuff. He's a thief. He's a kleptomaniac. If he walks in, he walks out, something's missing. And so we want to always have the joy of the Lord. Everybody say the joy of the Lord. This is a prayer that we can pray. Let there be always an uplifting spirit and a dynamism where we trust the Lord and we're happy people because of who Jesus is. Not down in the mouth, not given to complaint, but uplifting. And then after this one, giving thanks. Everybody say, giving thanks to the Father. Everybody say, the purpose is being formed in Christ's image. Formed in Christ's image. Formed in his image. Let's go ahead and look at the next slide. I love this. Epaphras is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you. Look at this now. Watch these. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Why? That you may stand perfect. The word perfect is always the word teleos, which is a word for mature. And complete in the will of God. Why would you pray fervently that someone stands mature and stands complete? How many of you feel like I need some more completing? I'm wavering and stuff, right? And so our goal is this. Now the next scripture takes us a little bit different direction. Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, this is Paul now. Paul's saying, please pray for us. Now, Paul is always praying for people because he knows that prayed for people get along a lot better than non-prayed for people. And he's modeling this prayer life, but he's also asking for prayer. He's not above asking for prayer. I think that's probably a weakness in my life that I don't ask for prayer enough. How many of you feel like you're going down for the count and you realize, I should ask people to pray for me? And by the way, it's not a bad idea to be praying for yourself. That counts. It says, pray for us. Now, here's the reason. He says that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. So he's asking, give us, Lord, open, and for our church, Lord, give us strategic ways to open the door for the word of God to come and rest, because we want to do a twofold thing. We want to serve like people never been served before and help, and we're going to get there. So we have a community impact of coming along and partnering with different people and things. And just because you love the Lord, they may not, but they got good hearts because they're out there doing good work. But there's a flavor. As we talked once before, it's like when Jesus always said to be salt and light, right? Be salt and light. How many of you sit down to a bowl of salt? No, when you're doing stuff, but salt makes it taste good, doesn't it? Salt makes it, preserves it, has more of an impact, and our life in Christ Jesus has a seasoning effect, right? A seasoning effect, seasoned as with salt. And so we want to be a part of the Lord opening doors and seeing how He takes us in the next near future. And to do that, we need to go to another level of prayer. Just say that to somebody next to you. We're going to go to another level of prayer. Are you going with me? Go ahead. Let's look at number two, and this is a great big picture, and we're going to come back to a more hometown view here in a minute, but number two, prayer is a pathway from desolation to restoration. Prayer is a pathway from desolation to restoration. And this is when we're looking at the book of Joel, and it holds a pattern for us for how to pray in a national crisis. There's all kinds of good things going on in the midst of the bad things. There's all kinds of wonderful things that God is beginning in the midst of this season. I just want to praise Him right now because He's in the middle of all the things that are going wrong. He's right in the middle, and He's calling the whole body of Christ to up our game with crying out to Him in prayer. Hallelujah. I'm going to pause right here and say, Lord, thank You for the great outpouring of Your Spirit. For where there is darkness, the light will come even greater, and Your glory will dawn like the morning and come, and Your glory will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And we will see in the midst of great darkness the greatness of the outpouring of Your love, unprecedented, and Your power to transform the hearts of multitudes at one time. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. This is a kind of a... The book of Joel in the Old Testament is a literal biblical pattern. And I've just got four little things up here. Let's go ahead to the next slide. And this is basically what we see. We see the sin and idolatry bringing destruction. And that's what's going on. It's always what gets a nation off track, where God is not, where something is honored other than Him, where things are looked to other than Him, when He's not. Hey, listen, if you want to get a good revelation of who God is, just read through 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles and allow how He deals with nations to just be ever present in your heart. Just soak it in. Take time in the Word of God and see how when somebody seeks after Him like Asa, even though he didn't do all things right, or Jehoshaphat, how God steps in and takes over and wins the victories. Even when they mess up, if they turn to Him with their whole heart at that time, God comes in and takes care. And Joel is a picture of this. And through the book of Joel, we see there was even a verse in there. I was trying to find it this morning. I read it. It said they traded a boy for a harlot. That's human trafficking. That's human trafficking. In the midst of the same culture, the same brokenness where you're doing wrong with people's lives is happened in Israel. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no new ways to devise wickedness. It's the same old stuff. It's usually some kind of a perverted sexual sin, all kinds of indulgences beyond belief, and people broken, and the culture falling apart, and the dad's not doing right, and the mom's doing right, and everybody's just messed up. And in the midst of a culture that's broken like that, God says He calls a fast. He calls fasting forth. He calls fasting and prayer. And this is the big picture, because I have to admit, I'm a slow faster. That's it. But when God puts that spirit on you, you can go for it. And when you go without food for a season and you seek God and pray, and we may be doing that in the near future, okay? We'll get there because I got to really know that God's telling me to do this. I'm not going to just jump and throw stuff down. But I will say this. I believe we're going to grow in our prayer capacity in an incremental way and keep increasing and go to another level. So then he says, you go ahead and you cry out to me, and then here God steps in. And this is how he does it. When the people are desperate and say, there's no other God but the Lord our God, and we cry out to him, then what he does is he comes in. And this is amazing to me, that number four, it says number one, sin and idolatry bring destruction. Two, fasting and prayer, through fasting and prayer we petition God. Number three, God answers with restoration. And you can look through this. And then number four, this is where he gets that verse, and then he says, I come and I pour out my spirit. And it's really the truth that when desperate times are happened in our nation in the past, there's been an uprising of crying out to God. And in corporate prayer meetings, there's a picture of corporate prayer meetings where people begin to show up for the reason of prayer and for the reason of intense prayer and gathering and crying out to God together. Not just one meeting, not just two, but they begin to grow. And when that starts to happen, see, revival precedes the arrival of the Lord, but prayer precedes the revival. And somebody's got to rise up and say, we need your help, oh God. And it's not asking one time, it's asking over and over and over. And you're just going to do this and you're going to hound God until what happens? God says, all right, we're on it. Next thing you know, the atmosphere begins to shift. Look, I don't really understand the seasons and times and everything, but right on the other side of southern West Virginia, we just had hundreds and several thousand people come to know Jesus. In Mingo County. We need to just pray over our state. By the way, I'll just stop here. There's a picture of our state, prophetically. I heard it 20 years ago. It looks like a heart. And God was going to do something in the state to pump life into the rest of the United States. I don't know about all the storm and stuff, but we're going to just say, God, rise up a standard over this state and put a block to every storm, every point of destruction that wants to stop the glory of what you want to do through our state. Amen? Now we're going to go on and let's tell you what. Man, are you with me in growing in prayer? We have those, we're going to hand them out next week, those little prayer, the circle in prayer thing. We just hand out. We're going to do all kinds of things to just begin to grow us in prayer. But let me go into the last one here. Number three, and we're almost done. Number three, prayer requires personal practice. Prayer requires personal practice. And this is where I'm going to just invite Jesus to come in and teach for a minute. And we're going to read a scripture that Jesus was teaching on prayer. It's from the Sermon on the Mount. And it's Matthew 6, starting with verse 5. And it says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. And what's he saying by that? He kind of tells it a little later. But they're the ones that he expounds on it more. But it says, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. There's a movement of worship in the body of Christ, and there's big events. And there's big events where there's all kinds of really talented people with big bands. And, I love it. I'm a part of that. But it doesn't mean that the people coming to those events have a prayer life. Doesn't even mean the people up there performing have prayer lives. It could be that, man, we just look really good. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying that could be a problem. Because there is, years ago, I think it was Vernon McGee said, when Satan fell out of heaven, he fell right in the middle of the choir. J. Vernon McGee. And when it comes to the temptations to people who are musical, it can be a real detour. Pride can rise up. I could deviate, but I just love it when I do these worship conferences and I watch the Lord just clean house. Because pride just really messes with an individual who has gifts that put them up in front of people. And the Lord says, I want to clean that out. I want to take down that idol of insecurity inside of a soul so that humility reigns and that I can flow like a river. It's not about what you have ability to do. How many of you know people's gifts have always gotten in trouble? Your gift can take you further than your character can stay. You can even preach further than you can disciple people from your own heart. I always want us to be a discipleship. Let's walk this way. I'm telling you, God's saying, I'm tweaking your prayer life. He's tweaking mine. Let's get tweaked together. And here's the, so let's go ahead and read the rest of this next slide. It says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you. And this room that are talking about going to this room, typically back then there was a room that was in the middle of the house that was for food to keep it cool. It didn't have any windows. That's the room they were talking about. Basically, it was a storeroom. Go inside where there's nobody around. It's not a super comfortable place because there's stuff in there. But go ahead in there, and I want you to cry out in secret. And then your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And there's something about who's influencing you if you're going to allow the Lord to influence you on the inside, and then you can influence others on the outside. We want to walk as a people who are our main influence is what God's doing on the inside of us, right? Not the culture around us. That's where much of the church has gotten off. Well, let's see. Let's take a vote on what everybody believes. And nobody's in the Word of God. If you're in the Word of God, a lot of this stuff wouldn't be happening. We wouldn't be jumping ship from the Scriptures. We'd be walking right down the line with the Scriptures and hearing God's breath. It's crazy. Okay, so here's a practical way of building your prayer life. Number one, start with reading the Scripture. This is a way to build your prayer life. Everybody say, start with reading the Scripture. Go ahead. Start with reading. Get your Bible out and read something. Okay, I have a journal I've been going through. There's a Bible reading plan. There's all kinds of ways to do this. Open up the Word of God and read it. And then here's the second part, and this is the fun part. Something in your life, God wants to speak to you. So here's what you do. You meditate. And what meditation is basically talking to yourself about what God is saying to you. Have you ever read Psalm 103? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. He's not talking to God. He's talking to himself the whole time. Who heals you all your diseases. He's like telling himself. Part of our, before we even pray, we need to talk to ourselves about what God's saying. It's good to say, you know what? I just need you more, Lord. And it's amazing to me when I read the Bible, He always finds something in there somewhere. They go, here you go. This is what you're going through. This is what you need right now. Anybody else? It's what He does. He says, He highlights this one. Here you go. I needed one the other day. And He says, here you go. And it is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. This is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He basically took care of a big issue of needing water for the horses of these three army groups that came together, Jehoshaphat, Ahab, and King of Edom. And He says, right here, He says, now, it's a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. And I needed to hear that. This provision I'm making for you, it's a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. And also, I'm going to deliver the Moabites into your hands. By the way, I'm going to go, not only give you provision, I'm going to go ahead and just give you the victory. Isn't that great? How many of you need to hear God speaking to your heart? Giving you fuel for the war you're waging. And so you meditate on that. And then what's that do? That turns into prayer. So here's some of the questions. I put those up here too. Go ahead, the next. Here's some meditation questions. How would my life be different if this truth was explosively alive in my innermost being? If I really believe this in the depth of my being, how would I be different and how? That's ways to meditate on the Word and get your heart stirred up. Why is God showing me this today? Next slide. What is going on in my life right now or this week? And so when you're taking the Word and you're thinking about it, you're meditating on it, you're asking yourself questions, then you turn this into prayer. Then you turn it into prayer. And probably one out of four times, you'll have a fire catch on the inside of you. And there'll be a flame rise up. And you'll just want to walk in thinking about that all day long. Not every time, but maybe one out of four, maybe one out of five. You'll be sitting there, and next thing you know, the breath of the Spirit will just come and ignite something in you. And as you're meditating on it, you say, Lord, you're reading my mail right down to the core of my being. And I just thank you and praise you. And your intimacy with God has gone through the roof. And you're walking in that sense of steadfastness in Him. And you're filled afresh. And you and I need to go to a new level of prayer together. Let's put the last slide up. Prayer has purpose. Prayer is the pathway from desolation to restoration. And prayer requires personal practice. Set everything aside just for a second there. Would you lift your heads to the Lord, if you wouldn't mind? You can close your eyes if you like. And if you would add this to it, if you just lift your hands in front of you as if to receive. And I want to ask, Spirit of the living God, this season, you're tipping something, you're releasing a passion in the realm of the Spirit for all who have a hunger for you. And I'm praying now that that Spirit by which you're drawing me into your presence to pray would come upon this congregation. Let's drop this thing into our midst and let a fresh anointing for prayer begin to be seeded into our hearts and begin to grow where we begin to feel like, I gotta pray more. I wanna pray. I love you, Lord. I wanna be with you more. I need you, Lord. Lord, the culture needs you. And we end up having days where we just walk in your presence, lifting up your name, walking with you, crying out to you. Let's pray in the Spirit here. Let's go ahead and praise him. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, let this mantle that was on Elijah fall on us. Let that mantle from the word from that was on Paul fall on us. Let the mantle that was on Jesus for prayer fall on us. Let there come an infusion and a passion to rise up and commune with you. Hear your voice, respond to you, and end up in a mighty warfare out of a place of intimacy in Christ that we know that you are speaking to us and things are changing because you've invited us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, I ask that in these coming days and weeks and months, just this near future, over every detail that we have need of in City Church. Every physical need, every financial need, and we ask for the blanketing effect of your Spirit to rest upon all work. And now we pray, Lord, may this become a dynamic place to draw hearts into your presence. And the healing mantle of Jesus and the delivering work of Jesus restore folks. And so as we move toward this, Lord, we lift our hearts in expectancy in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Now, just go ahead and place your hand on somebody's shoulder and say, bless them, Lord. Overflow them, Lord. Overflow them with your goodness. Overflow them with your power and your grace. Hallelujah. Overflow them. Lord, let the blessing of the Lord be profound these next days in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Love on each other. We're dismissed.